Good morning. Welcome everyone to worship with us at Tempe Church of Christ. Something I try to acknowledge every so often is that everyone in this room carries all of the past week and who knows what else in with them. And last week we were talking about Abraham, we will again today, about his making and breaking camp. And when he would pause, he would worship. And so we carry all of this busyness of life and some joy, lots of pain. And we bring all those things and we pause here together and we meet our good, good Father and we see him in the faces of those around us. Because oftentimes life is not very good to us and I need you and your encouragement to remind me of that good Father who cares. I really have come to believe he is so close. He could never be closer to any of us than he is right now. But I'm reminded of that very starkly in gatherings like this. So Genesis chapter 18 is where we'll be in a moment. As we think about what we can learn, last week we really emphasized this idea of light, ancient light, breaking into the present and illuminating where people of faith have been and how that might direct us as we make decisions about where we go from here. What do we do to follow God and fall in love with him in Tempe, Arizona? What does that look like? So I was really happy. If you'd seen my face, you might have seen how happy when Alan stood up to do communion and he said, "I've got a silly story." Because if you know me at all yet, you know that I love to laugh. It's just probably one of my coping mechanisms for how I deal with life is I always look for the humor in a situation, or at least on my good days, I'm able to see humor in some odd things. So I try to temper that. I realize every preacher thinks they're a comedian, and you've heard all of the preacher jokes. And this theme that we're going to talk about today, based in Genesis 18 and the surrounding chapters, is about laughter. So I'm really working hard. So Alan gave you one, and I'll try to not overdo it, with this idea of laughter and the gospel that flows out of it. The problem with being somebody who enjoys laughing and sees humor in odd situations is that oftentimes you laugh in inappropriate situations. Also not good as a minister, right? So we're in trouble here, potentially. The very first funeral that I ever preached, I was doing a great job of being reverent and setting a mood that would honor the life of this beautiful Christian woman who had lived a long, full life, was a good friend of mine, and I stood up to read her eulogy, and I look up as somber as I know how, with genuine reverence for what's going on, and everyone in the audience is laughing. And only afterward do I find out that my brother, of all people, didn't eat breakfast that morning, and his stomach growled so loudly that it, like, shook the pew where they were sitting to sing the songs for this funeral. Unbelievable, right? It's a serious moment and you're ruining it. But I get it, because I am usually that person. Maybe you are too some days. In Genesis, I got stickers flying everywhere. In Genesis chapter 18, Sarah is that person. So if you want to read with me a few verses, Genesis 18 verses 10 through 15. The word of God is coming to Abram and telling him what is about to come to pass. And Sarah is inside the door of the tent, eavesdropping, listening in. She's intended to. One of the men said, "I will definitely return to you this time next year. Your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were both very old. Sarah was no longer menstruating. That's not a word I say a lot from here. So Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, "I'm no longer able to have children, and my husband is old." The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Me give birth at my age? Is anything too difficult for the Lord?' When I return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son." Sarah lied. She said, "I didn't laugh," because she was afraid. But he said, "No, you laughed." Have you been that person? You laughed. Sarah is kind of caught in a tough spot, right? I mean, not only is she laughing and she gets called out for it by the Lord. She then lies about it and gets called out for it by the Lord. Sarah doesn't look great in the early goings of this story as we meet her. Her plan to have a son vicariously through her maidservant backfires, and she gets so angry about it on two different occasions, she kicks this young lady, and the second time with her son, out of her house. And she is caught laughing at God's plan to bless the world. So Sarah doesn't look great. But did you know, maybe some of you did, that she's not the first one to laugh at this plan of God? Just one chapter back, if you want to flip over a page, Abraham can't help himself. He falls on his face laughing at what God says he will do to bring a son into the world through Abraham and Sarah. He even begs God to change the plan. He said, you know what? I've already been working on this one. I've got it figured out. Ishmael, he's already here. He can be the child of promise. Speaking of Ishmael, once Isaac is finally born, Ishmael also is laughing. And this is what gets him and his mother kicked out of the house for the second time. So last week, we were talking about the story of Abraham being called to follow God, and there was like zero emotion in it. It was like, Abraham, follow me. Yes, I will. And it's just very matter-of-fact and movement-oriented. But this week is all of the feels, right? You've got people hysterically laughing, and you've got people weeping over being kicked out of their home. This week feels so much different. There's so much emotion tied up in this story and so much laughter that that is actually how Isaac gets his name. It means laughter, or he laughs. They say that time in erodes awareness of. Time in erodes awareness of. So once you've been in a system for a little while, you tend to stop noticing all the things that you first noticed when it was brand new to you. And I think that this is true of us as Christian people. If you've heard much about the story of Jesus, maybe it doesn't seem so humorous anymore. Maybe it doesn't seem so odd or funny. But this, in a nutshell, is the story of Jesus. The Son of God comes to earth, and he is born not just by anyone, but born through a virgin. He enters the world in a stable in the backwaters of Judea. He lives as a man. He dies somehow connected to our sin problem. And the kicker is, he doesn't stay dead. Like, this is quite a story, right? And every week, we get here together, and at least for part of the time, we're talking about some part of this story. So I guess I shouldn't have been surprised as I read through Genesis and I'm praying about, God, what are we supposed to be seeing this week? What do we need to talk about? What's worth hearing from you? I shouldn't have been surprised that this gospel story of Jesus is happening in the story of Abraham. This gospel story is told thousands of years before Jesus even arrives. But I was surprised. And it's humorous to me. Consider Sarah, how she is a forerunner of Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. These two women have a lot in common, although they're on either end of their lifespans when they bring their children into the world. Sarah is not exactly a virgin anymore, but she's unable to conceive, and she's desperate to have a child. So she comes up with this plan with Abraham. She is I've never had so much trouble saying this. She's postmenopausal. I didn't realize I'd never say this out loud. She's beyond her time of life to have children anyway. So she's like two strikes against her, two reasons to not believe that what God has said will come to pass. Two good reasons. And so she laughs inside herself as this is said, next year, just wait and see. It reminds me of Mary treasuring all of this news about Jesus in her heart. These two unlikely mothers, these two children of promise. Like, this is pretty unbelievable, right? And yet we get together every week and we say, remember that story? There's something about this story that we believe. Abraham tells the good news in a little bit different way. He's a lot like us. He believes God. He says, I know you'll get us where you want us to go, but I'm not really sure about how it's going to happen. So maybe like a lot of us with overactive imaginations, he comes up with ways to make it happen, right? The reason Ishmael is alive. I love how Abraham takes this other story. We don't have time to delve into all of it today. He says, well, how's this going to happen? Abraham, sacrifice your son. We don't know what all is going on in his mind from that story, but if you read the book of Hebrews, it says he believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. So I guess if I take my son's life and he's the child of promise, God has to bring him back. Like, this just blows my mind that Abraham has this kind of mindset in an era when resurrection, like, we haven't talked about Jesus yet, right? This is not something you pin your hopes on from a day-to-day basis. Poor Ishmael, though. He, like, represents, his very existence represents, like, our best efforts to do something for God and leave God out of it, right? The whole reason Ishmael is here because, oh, thank you for the idea, God. We're going to run with the ball for a while. And I don't know if God just says how cute or what. He says, I'll still bless Ishmael. I can work with this, but that's not the plan. That's not what's going to happen. Ishmael laughs at Isaac, much the same as the leaders later on who are surrounding the cross of Jesus mock and laugh. Oh, this is the chosen son, huh? We thought we were Abraham's children. I don't know about you, but my protective instincts for Jesus, I just want to torch all those people around the cross. And Sarah's mama bear instinct kicks in and she says, get rid of that kid. He can't be around my son. But God with Hagar and Ishmael and Jesus on the cross, they look at these people mocking and they say, there are tears now, but laughter's going to follow. Forgive. We choose forgiveness. The gospel is kind of laughable, isn't it? It's laughable because God laughs last. The last person to laugh in this story with Isaac, or the last one we're going to talk about, is Sarah again. She kicks us off with laughter, and she ends the story with laughter. And at the birth of Isaac, she says, what a great joke. The Lord has brought me pleasure, laughter, joy. The story begins and ends with laughter for her because his birth has been one of the funniest things that has happened in a long time for Sarah. The gospel is a joke told at death's expense. Have you ever thought about that? Everyone says, how do we get rid of Jesus? Oh, we'll just nail him to a cross. Dead men tell no tales, right? Jesus dies, and he comes back. He uses the very force of death to sentence death to death. And that is the hope that we live out of. That is what causes me to be able to find joy in the darkest circumstances of life. These unbelievable stories, I think they're meant to be told and retold because we have to retrain our expectations because life is hard. But there's something more than what's happening right in front of me. There is hope. Weeping and sorrow, they last for a night, but joy breaks through in the morning. These unbelievable stories. I had a friend of mine at a restaurant one time, and the gentleman serving her was Muslim, and she was wearing a cross, and he said, "Why do you wear your shame?" And her response was something along the lines of, because we've seen this one before and we know how it ends. For us, we know where this is going. Life finds a way. It breaks through. We become messengers and makers of light and life and laughter because this is the very character of God. And it's not making light of death and pain because they're very real. I think the cross proves that. God takes death very seriously. And so we weep. And we grieve when things like Hurricane Dorian just tear up the Bahamas. And when mass shootings happen that should not have happened. And even just when homes are broken, as if that's a small thing. We weep. Those are weepable, grief-worthy moments.
I
weeping. I think I've shared before, but I'll just briefly say again, when my younger brother passed away and my mother came home from the hospital to share this news with us, I wanted so bad to just make her laugh and just tell her a joke and let her know that joy will come. I didn't have a good joke that day. No preacher's jokes yet. God does not take lightly death and pain, but he does shed light on the end of death, and I love that. I love Jesus for that. Our laughter becomes this growing protest of current events because we say no matter how bad today is, we know something. We know it from Sarah, and we know it from Mary, and we know it from Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, there's better things to come. You're just not ready to hear it yet. Like, I want to hear that. Please tell me what could be better than life after death. I love Jesus all the more after reading this gospel of laughter from the book of Genesis, and I hope that you do too. It helps me to see that things seem impossible, and yet with God, those impossible things are actually inevitable. The good news of Jesus is bigger and better than I have yet imagined. Too good to be true, unbelievable, laughable, but I believe it. And you're here for a reason today, so I think at least in part, you believe something too. So at Tempe Church of Christ, we're pursuing life with God together. We want to hold up Jesus because he is true hope. And we laugh in the face of death, even as our laughter is mixed with tears, because of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, you are good, so very good to us. You embrace us in our darkest night of mourning. You turn darkness and death and sorrow into light and life and joy. Thank you for people like Sarah and Mary who lived through the impossible and taught us that your life breaking into the world is inevitable. We want to be people who live in protest of all that is wrong with this world as we cry out for you to come and make things right. But Father, we pray that we would not wait for some day far off, but that we would do what you've given us to do to make things right in the meantime. Help us to be like Abraham and Sarah and all of those in these stories who set out on a path of faith to know you and to do what you've called us to. And help us to see the joy breaking through even in the midst of our pain. We pray in Jesus' name.